Early 1945. Most German cities, including Berlin, Dresden, and Hamburg, have been completely devastated by Allied aircraft. A few months later, in August 1945, the two atomic bombings of the Japanese cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki took place, these being the most famous bombings of the entire conflict. Approximately, while in each of these German cities between 40,000 and 60,000 civilians died, in Hiroshima 70,000 people died instantly and in Nagasaki more than 40,000. However, there was another great bombing that has been forgotten, and that killed more than 100,000 Japanese, making it the deadliest bombing in history. This is how we are going to see the bombing of Tokyo, which took place on the night of March 9, 1945. Before we get into this dramatic event that killed more than 100,000 Japanese, let's briefly put it in context. To do this, let's go back to the first bombing that the capital of Japan suffered, which took place on April 18, 1942, in response to what had happened in Pearl Harbor 4 months earlier. In this raid, 16 American B-25 bombers took part, which took off from the aircraft carrier Hornet, in a practically suicidal mission. The main problem was that the Americans did not have any island near Japan from which to launch this attack, as if they would have years later when they captured Saipan or the island of Iwo Jima. This forced them to have to transport the bombers on an aircraft carrier and make them take off 1,100 kilometers from Japan. Since they did not have enough fuel to return back to the carriers, and the carriers had to be withdrawn once the planes took off, the American bombers would have to make an emergency landing in China or the Soviet Union. This, of course, without counting that they could be shot down by anti-aircraft or by Japanese aviation. Despite the difficulty, this attack could be completed successfully and they were able to carry out the first bombardment that the city of Tokyo received, taking the Japanese completely off guard. Although it caused practically no damage to the city, it was a great blow to Japanese morale, and a strong symbol for the Americans. The attack received at Pearl Harbor had been avenged. Next, a gigantic campaign began through dozens of archipelagos that the Japanese had conquered in the Pacific, becoming more and more evident that the Japanese had no capacity to defeat the Americans. One of the most significant events of that Pacific campaign was the American victory in the Battle of the Marianas during the summer of 1944, and the capture of the island of Saipan. So from this moment on, the Americans already had take-off bases for their bombers some 2,300 kilometers from Tokyo. Furthermore, this coincided with the entry into service of the famous B-29 bombers, which had a range of about 6,000 kilometers, putting the island of Japan within reach of the Americans. Although to date it had been possible to carry out some bombing of Japan with planes that took off from northern China, it was going to be now when the gates of hell were really going to open for the Japanese civilian population. Another fact to take into account is that up to this date the Americans had not been in favor of the indiscriminate bombardment of the civilian population, which the British had been carrying out in recent years. In this way, their attacks were considered as precision bombardments on military production factories or other types of infrastructure. However, it was from then on that they decided to carry out indiscriminate bombardments against the civilian population, with the intention of making their enemy surrender as soon as possible. Although we have said before that the B-29 bombers already had the range to reach Japan from the Mariana Islands from July 1944, the fighters still did not have as much range. This meant that the bombers carrying out these raids were going to have to do so without protection, assuming very high casualties. On the other hand, they had the option of flying at an altitude of about 9 kilometers where the Japanese could not damage them. However, at these heights there are very strong currents that completely divert the trajectory of the bombs, making it practically impossible to hit the planned target. Thus, and under the excuse that it was impossible to hit military targets, at the end of 1944 the strategy changed completely and the Americans began their bombing campaign on Japanese cities. In addition, little by little they were taking islands that were closer to Japan, as was the case of Iwo Jima that fell in March 1945, and this gradually facilitated their air raids. In this way, the escort fighters, these being mainly the P-51s, could take off from Iwo Jima and escort the B-29s that came from the south. Given this, we have one last aspect to analyze, before exposing the brutal bombing that the city of Tokyo received, this being the material with which the B-29 bombers bombed the capital of Japan. This element was napalm, which had been invented just 2 years earlier by a scientific team from Harvard University. As a summary, napalm is an incendiary gel capable of sticking to both buildings and people's skin, which quickly devours everything it finds. Since most Japanese homes were made of wood and cloth, napalm was ideal for laying waste to large urban areas. The bombs in which the napalm is put are designed to explode between 3 and 5 seconds after reaching the ground, which ensures that the explosion with the napalm will occur inside the house and not on the roof. Finally, the temperature reached by this incendiary gel is up to 1000 degrees almost instantly, causing everything in its path to melt and disintegrate. Approximately, each B-29 bomber was capable of loading and dropping some 1,520 napalm bombs. The first large-scale bombardments of Tokyo, even with conventional bombs, began in November 1944, not being very effective. However, it didn't take long for the Americans to change their strategy and soon decided to level the city with napalm. In any case, these first attacks served to prove that the Japanese anti-aircraft defense was a disaster, and that it had no capacity to defend against these high-altitude bombers. With hardly any radar, no planes, ammunition, bomb shelters, and with most of the houses made of wood, Japanese civilians were soon going to know what hell was. During the afternoon of March 9, 1945, as the Battle of Iwo Jima was drawing to a close, a fleet of 335 B-29 bombers took off from the Mariana Islands headed for Tokyo. In order to transport more bombs, part of the aircraft's weapons and crew members who were not strictly necessary were removed. In total, the load of napalm bombs that these planes carry to drop on Tokyo is estimated to be between 450,000 and 500,000. Because there were no Japanese fighters defending Tokyo at the time, the bombers dropped to an altitude of 2,000 meters and began dropping their bombs just after a few minutes after midnight. The Japanese warning sirens did not start sounding until 7 minutes after the first bomb fell, which was gradually followed by more than 1,600 tons of napalm bombs, which had already begun to devour Tokyo. Entire neighborhoods began to be consumed by flames, while more bombs continued to fall. Months before, in Tokyo, nearly 350,000 homes had been destroyed to create empty spaces as a firebreak, and thus prevent a fire from spreading, but this time it was of no use. Similarly, the Japanese firefighters proved useless due to lack of resources and personnel. In a similar way to the Germans, they were forced to use adolescents for these tasks, since all the men had been sent to the front. Thus, the population was now going to suffer the full weight of the war, which was no longer in the distant battlefields of the South Pacific. Was this going to cause a collapse in morale and distrust of the Japanese government and the emperor, as the Americans intended? The shelling had started to the south of the city, and due to the strong wind blowing in a northerly direction, the fire began to spread across much of Tokyo. Because during the shelling the bombs had fallen over a widely scattered area, many people were unable to escape, and died after being engulfed in flames. The bomb shelters proved useless because they were not prepared for that type of napalm attack, and most of the people who were somewhere underground were still burned or suffocated to death. The concrete buildings were of no use either, since the high temperatures outside that far exceeded 1,000 degrees, and made the interior of said buildings turn into ovens. So, a whole series of desperate actions took place that night to try to escape the flames, but in most cases to no avail. To comment on one last curiosity, there were people who drowned in the Ara River that runs through Tokyo, because they couldn't even get to the surface. Finally, when the sun rose on the morning of March 10, the survivors were able to see the result of this monstrous bombardment. 25 square kilometers of the city had been completely leveled, and everywhere were charred and unrecognizable bodies. Women, men, and children died by the thousands alike. During that morning, There was a photographer who on his own account was in charge of photographing the charred remains of Tokyo, although these photos were never published in Japanese territory to try to hide what happened. It was also during that morning when attempts were made to carry out work to identify the victims, but it was impossible in most cases. It is estimated that some 100,000 Japanese lost their lives during that early morning of March 10, although there are those who raise this figure to more than 150,000 victims. In addition, a million people were left homeless. Regardless of whether the figure is the highest or the lowest, the casualties of this bombing exceed those that occurred in Hiroshima or Nagasaki, and also any bombing in Germany. On the other hand, the Americans only lost 14 bombers for different reasons, making their balance very positive. This attack was the first in a series of attacks on other Japanese cities that had similar results, killing hundreds of thousands of people and leaving huge urban areas completely flattened. In an attempt to boost morale, Emperor Hirohito visited the ruins of Tokyo, to the utter horror of it. His country was being defeated on all fronts, and now we had to add that the Japanese army no longer had the capacity to defend his territory. After the bloody Battle of Okinawa that concluded for practical purposes at the end of June 1945, the next step that the US Army had to take was the assault on the island of Japan. Although this never happened, another series of savage bombings did take place during that summer, until the two atomic bombs were dropped in the first days of August. Finally, on August 15, and after having also suffered the Soviet Union's attack on Manchuria, Hirohito announced the capitulation of Japan.